a warning?
Hey! There's nothing to worry about.
I worried that you work in an office. Have children. Celebrate wedding anniversaries. The world of heterosexual is a sick and boring life.
Suspected. It's a global conspiracy. Key players, highest levels of power.
Everything they've searched for.
He's seen more than he should have.
And everything they've feared.
I'm already way past the point of common sense here.
Will finally be revealed.
We are close to something.
Only in theaters. The truth is something you never guess. Never have predicted. The X-Files. Rated PG-13. June 19th. Only in theaters.
Welcome back to the show, everyone.
Welcome back.
Scott, this movie.
We've talked on our show before about your favorite movie in junior high. This was one of my favorite movies when I was in the eighth grade.
Okay.
So.
Good to know.
I'm excited to talk about it.
I'm excited that you're excited to talk about it. This is going to be a fun one, and I'm super excited for our special guest this week. Listeners, my name's Pete.
And I'm Scott.
And these are the movies that made us gay.
Ashley Cassidy.
Ashley.
Welcome back to the show.
Welcome back.
Very dear friend of both Pete and I think that I scheduled you as a guest just so
truly,
we can catch up.
Truly, especially since I moved. Also, hi everyone, it's me.
Yeah.
Yes. Welcome back.
Thank you for having
Ashley
me.
Ashley from Keep It Weird. Welcome to the show.
Yes, this is what, like my fifth? Yeah. What season are you on? Are you starting season six? Gotta be my sixth episode then, because I think I've been on every season.
I think you have. I think you have.
You were last on for the Gus Van Sant To Die For episode.
Oh, right. One of my favorite movies of all time.
Which feels like 100
sure
episodes
does.
Ago.
Yeah,
so
it feels like a very long time.
I'm glad that you are
thank
back
you,
on
thank
the pod.
Thank you. And you couldn't have brought me on for anything better because I love the X-Files.
That's right.
Yes,
we watched The X-Files Fight the Future, or just The X-Files, released under The X-Files, and then kind of for home video, they branded it as X-Files / Fight the Future. Directed by Rob Bowman, written by Chris Carter, based on his TV show, released June 19th, 1998.
All right. I mean, Ashley, the co-host and co-creator of the successful, wildly successful podcast, Keep It Weird, fan of The X-Files?
What?
What?
Can you imagine?
Have you guys ever just done
make
a straight-up X-Files
make
episode
sense.
And we should,
on the show?
Because like I said, I have a whole book. I have The Book of the Unexplained, Volumes 1 and 2. This is the most massive book I own. The pages are literally falling out.
And it's an official X-Files
okay,
like tie-in
yes,
book.
Yes, it is. It's actually really cool. It's like
I love it.
It's interviews with Chris Carter, and like they cover all the different types of topics. So like there's a whole chapter on vampires, which I know we're going to talk about today, and there's like obviously alien episodes. There's like genetic tampering episodes. I said episodes, chapters. Genetic tampering, and then Chris Carter talks about like real life X-Files that inspired those episodes. So
okay.
This is kind of where
that.
It started for me. I feel like an episodic
sure.
weird storytelling. Yeah, that's basically my show.
How long have you had
I've
that
had
book?
This book since high school.
Oh my gosh. Where'd you buy
my
this book?
My mom
storage?
Got it for me because she's always been supportive of my weird little heart and hobbies. But I've
love
carried
that.
It
and the alien episodes
throughout
the
yeah.
alien episodes of your shows are always some of my favorite, and this past year we can talk about it later more in depth, but I mean aliens were
they're
all
here,
over 2023
y'all.
Around the world they're here.
They're here.
I love like
they're
your
here.
Alien current event episodes.
Yeah,
so
we
you'll have to give us a little update
one
of there's
every
anything developing.
Season now because there's been so much mm-hmm. stuff released officially, you know, by official channels. It's all stuff that people have kind of been talking about
right.
On the underground, you know, the lone gunmen
right.
have been keeping us updated on on all things extraterrestrial. But it was cool to see like actual, you know, government bodies acknowledging that there's something weird out there. And here's the thing. I don't think they know what it is.
Sure.
Sure. I think my favorite part of all of this alien discourse was the one that was the little like birthday cake.
Oh, yeah. The adorable body. Little thing.
I don't think I've seen a picture of this.
You've seen the one that looks like a birthday cake. Where was it? Mexico? Central America somewhere there. Yeah.
It's where they always are.
I mean, I think I saw the alien in like gay memes.
They brought in this little, like, they said it was like a mummified, like, 1,000-year-old alien body. Yeah. But it was like
to Mexican.
It looked like you
Congress.
Went to Ralph's.
They brought in these little.
Yeah.
Truly look like it could have been an is it cake or is it actual alien?
Yeah, it was a sheet cake that they cut into the shape of like a laying down, like a, it looked like the guy from Operation, but just like gray alien matter instead of like water on the knee.
Yeah, they were like a foot and a half tall. And I don't even know what happened with that. I feel like they were like, they presented it to Congress, Mexican Congress, and they were like, yeah. Okay, I don't know what to say about this. Yeah,
sure.
And then that was it. And then he disappeared off the face of the earth. So he was either, assassinated, shmashinated, or, no, he's alive. I don't think anyone bought his tiny alien.
What? You're saying people were dubious at the tiny birthday cake?
A little bit. No, for a second.
I didn't know about the birthday cake
when you were talking
part.
About that. Well, yeah, it really truly looked like it was a cake, but it was supposedly an alien body. For a second, when you said birthday cake, though, I also was confused because there was one ship last year and it looked like a dreidel. And that's what I thought you were talking about. Oh. I was like, wait, the dreidel? Oh, you're calling it a cake. Okay. I'm calling it a dreidel.
A dreidel, okay. No, but that makes me think of something else where there's now these like quotes from Guillermo del Toro, the movie director. Yeah. And he's saying like, I have in fact had, an UFO encounter. Because of course he has, Guillermo del Toro. But the best part of the quote was he was like, the ship that we saw, the UFO, he's like, I didn't like it. I wasn't here for it.
Oh, he was unimpressed. He wanted to.
He said it looked like a fake 1950s doctored photograph. Like it looked like what they look like in those pictures.
They need to beam him up with his art department.
Yeah. Yes. To make it more gothic and
it
like crazy.
It makes me think that like they're just projections of our own imagination. When you say it, looked like an old doctored, it was like, that's what I imagine they look like. And so that's what my mind projected into the sky. There's so many theories. And X-Files touches on so many of them.
And that's the thing about this show is that it can send you down rabbit hole. I mean, we were discussing off mic of how much of this story, of this plot, do we even try to sum up?
Truly.
Because this movie is very story driven because they were making their $100 million movie so they could really do the conspiracy theory story right and put it all in there that they could do on the show.
Yeah. And they were really ahead of the curve. I think nowadays, in the 2020s, everyone's pretty up and up on government conspiracies. And it's not really a joke anymore because we know so much more now than we did even in the 90s. Like, we know so much more about Operation Paperclip and Operation Chaos and all these different things the government did to its own people, like to the American people, that's super fucked up. And like X-Files, I feel like we're the only ones really – aside from, obviously they made movies about Watergate, but I think X-Files was the only show that was really sort of like leaning into it and showing you that like these conspiracies could be real.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that. And I feel like the whole like the lone gunman kind of aspect of the show, while kind of played up for a comedy kind of these guys are kooks. It's still to an extent in the 2020s, there's that like basement dweller, like conspiracy theorist situation. But I think that so much of these conspiracy theories that were so fringe, you know, in the last like 25, 30 years now have
mainstream
come to, bubbled up to the surface as part of, mainstream like culture. And when we get things on the news, just like the government saying like, sure, yes, aliens, fine. You got us.
Throwing up their arms.
You figured it out. It's just like when we finally talked him into giving us weed. They were like, fine. Yes. Jesus. Smoke it. I don't
you
care.
Win.
Quit asking.
Yeah, I just...
Yeah, it's sort of like how... Because like when I was in high school, this kind of stuff was not cool. I tried to talk to many people about extraterrestrials and ghosts, and I had my friends that I knew I could confide in with my weird theories and beliefs, and then I knew that the popular people would laugh me out of the room. But it's almost like superheroes now, where it's like the cool people it. Like most people, I would say, popular or not, know more about, you know, Roswell than, you know, the average person did in 1998.
Yeah. And I mean, The other thing about this show is that it was, I feel like it had that crossover success.
It was event television on Sunday night on Fox.
For it being about these like conspiracy theories and kind of like underground things and maybe a little bit more nerdy. I feel like while it did have those hardcore fans that could be definitely considered
nerdy
and obsessive and whatever.
They would go to the conventions, that kind of thing.
Yeah. But, you know, I think now we have a whole generation of people who grew up with the show and just really have this appreciation for the show itself and these two characters, you know, specifically.
I think especially in the LGBT community, I think that there are definitely some niche gay X-Files fans that this show means a lot to them.
Yes.
That's why I wanted to talk about the show. So we, I mean, what a great opportunity to talk about the movie.
Totally. Yeah. I know for a fact that many people, many lesbians have attributed Jillian to being their first crush, to being the woman that made them go,
absolutely,
wait a minute. And I know even when I was watching, like, that was the first show where I was, I mean, Mulder was like my first love, aside from Dan from Roseanne. It was like Dan from Roseanne. And Fox Mulder.
Dan can get it.
I still have a crush on Dan.
Oh, my God, you guys.
And Fox Mulder and Dana Scully. They had so much charisma. They had so much chemistry. And they were so hot.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this show just screams like...
They nailed it.
Just bisexual energy.
Especially with a character like Fox Mulder, because you don't know a lot about Fox Mulder's personal situation.
Right.
Like, there might be some... I can't even think anything off the top of my head of relationships that he's been in. But, I mean, they never call him out for being straight. He could be gay. We don't know.
One vampire.
He could be bisexual.
Okay. Yeah. One vamp.
Sure.
I think that there's some stuff on the internet that there is something in one of the later seasons where you can see his wedding ring.
Yeah.
What?
I think it's probably David Duchovny's wedding ring. To Taglioni. And then, of course, that just opens up the fan theories of, what is this relationship? Was he in a relationship? Was it with a man or a woman?
Yeah, was it a secret relationship?
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yep. Exactly.
Okay, so admittedly, I am the least knowledgeable about this show of everyone on this call. And so didn't Mulder and Scully kind of get together at some point in the timeline?
Yes.
Okay, so they had a romantic entanglement. And then there's kind of a moment in the movie that was like a big gag for the fans, right? Okay.
You know, on the deleted scenes, you actually see them finish the kiss.
Oh, and it's wild. It's long. I was like, ooh.
I can see why they cut it of that. I think that for the purpose of the TV show, this is jumping the shark.
It's a lot.
You need to have the bee sting Scully right before they're going to lock
lips. Oh, okay. This is a question I have.
Not the bees.
1998. Yes. So when did the movie, where does the movie fit into the series? Between what seasons?
Okay, I have that in my notes. I'm glad that you asked. So the film takes place between the seasons 5, episodes the end, and 6, episode the beginning of the television series. So that's kind of where it falls in the mythology.
And then I also read that Chris Carter initially just wanted to end the show and then kind of tie it up with the movie.
Yeah.
But Fox, the network, not Fox.
Not Fox, the character.
Fox, the network, was like, we're making a lot of money and we love money. So you actually, we're going to give you more seasons of this show, which what television crew is like, fuck you. We don't want more seasons.
Exactly.
But Chris Carter wanted to wrap it up. The story-wise, he was like, this is my plan. But the network had other...
Which, like, was that detrimental to the show? Because I know that pretty much after that, the seasons, the ratings-wise, I think it starts to fall off. I think people start to fall off after that.
And this is... And this is when we bring in Robert Patrick and Annabeth Gish.
Sure, because David Duchovny left the show. I mean, it quit kind of winning awards after probably the movie season, around 98, 99.
Season six.
Yeah. And I want to say that they had this movie in the can before going into filming the season that it's set before. I can't remember where exactly, like, the order of production is, but the movie was always planned, and then they kind of built it into the structure of the season.
And I don't mind that, because the way they did this movie, this was, Scott, you said this was like your favorite movie in eighth grade. I did see the movie in, I think, high school, and then I don't know if I saw it since. Maybe once, because I did remember a couple things from it, but I really didn't remember the whole every beat of it, and boy are there a lot of beats, but it does feel like it really does feel like it's just two episodes of the show, and I really like that, like
with the
big production value, but like it's filmed exactly like the TV show is filmed, which I thought is cool because it's a TV show,
but kind of on an epic scale, because I think that I'm assuming that the show is probably shot on like on video.
But no, it's not on video. But I mean, it just goes to show like how high the standards were.
This is a movie darling
show.
Yeah.
That it matches. Yeah. And some of the things, so okay. My backstory with the show. I was in high school when the show was originally airing. And my best friend in high school, we spent a lot of time together. We lived far from school. And it was a private school. You didn't have to live in the neighborhood to go there. So I lived closer, and it was a whole thing where we set up that he would come home with me after school, and then his dad would pick him up at like 7 or 8 when he got off work on the way home, right? So we would do that every day or whatever. And then on Fridays, I would straight up go to his house. So we spent all day at school, all afternoon at my house, and then Fridays I would go with him to his house and spend the night. And it was originally on Fridays, I want to say.
Fridays, and then I think it went to the Sunday.
All this to say that his parents really loved it.
Yeah.
And they were like, let's watch X-Files. And we were like, okay. And like, the adults were like, this is a really cool, fun show. And we were like, all right.
Premiered September 10th, 1993. Nice.
So we started watching it that way, and then we were just like, we're going to go and skateboard. And smoke weed and,
no.
Loiter.
Not my Pete.
not me. But so eventually I fell out of it, but I remember really liking what I saw. And it was one of those shows where I was like, I'd catch an episode, and I'd be like, this show's so good, I'm going to keep watching it, and then next week I'll just forget. My older sister really enjoyed it. She was a big David Duchovny fan, and then she also loved the character of Dana Scully, and so she really liked it and kind of connected to it, and she watched it all the time. But it was one of those things where, like, I felt like I could watch an episode and be like, again, like I said, this is fun, this is a great show, I'm gonna keep watching. But I also didn't feel like, oh, I haven't watched in a while, so nope. I don't know what's going on. I didn't feel that way. Pop I felt in. Like I could jump right in.
I mean, literally all the time, Joe and I will be like, let's turn on our X-Files. And we don't even like pick a specific episode. We just go like, what season? 3. What episode? 7. And whatever it is, that's what we watch. Because it really, even the episodes that weren't like the offshoot episodes, the like Monster of the Week episodes, you really, I mean, you didn't need to know backstory. There's only a couple times when it's like, where's Dana? She has cancer? What's happening? Like, there's really only a couple times in the series where you need to know maybe what happened the week before.
Right, right.
And especially towards the end with, I mean, doesn't Scully have like an alien baby? Or it's taken by aliens?
She like, well, she's like pregnant and then the baby disappears from her uterus.
Yeah. And they allude to all of the events
from her
of
body.
Her.
Wow.
And they have allude to all of the events of the movie when she's on the ship at the end and Fox saves her. Oh my background with this show is that we did not have traditional TV when I was a kid. I would only watch TV when I went over to my dad's house and my grandma's house. But when I was with my mom, no channels, which is kind of wild. But whenever I had the opportunity,
I can't relate.
Whenever I had the opportunity to watch The X-Files, I fucking savored it.
Yeah.
Because I knew, like, this is a treat. The X-Files is on. And I remember we borrowed a set of tapes from our neighbors, like, a mile down the road of best of season one.
Best of
back when
season one.
You could get, like, best of TV shows on two cassettes, and it was probably like 5 episodes. I had one for Buffy, and we borrowed the one for The X-Files. So I would always rewatch the same episodes of season one over and over again when we had those borrowed. And just kind of one of those things that you catch it when I'm staying with my dad or something. But when The X-Files movie came out, I remember it being
really
a huge deal that when this movie was announced that they were doing a movie for it, when it came out in the summertime, I was fucking jazzed. And I went to this movie. It didn't come to our hometown until way late in its run. Like, I want to say that it was probably at the Judith Theater in like late August or maybe even September. So like they got it late, but I went to it with friends of my parents and just kind of one of
you
those
like, somebody
random memories
me.
Of mine.
Anybody.
Somebody take Scott. And it ended up being like friends of my mom and Don, my stepdad.
They like this. They like that shit. Go
and they were like super into genre shit like that. Like me. Like they watched Buffy the Vampire Slayer. They watched The X-Files. So they were all about
That's
taking
so nice.
Me to the movie. And kind of one of those memories that I have when going to movies and this movie was one of the first times I was sitting in a theater and I saw an ad. An ad before a movie.
Can you believe
that wasn't a trailer.
That wasn't a trailer. I think that it was like a car commercial and I had never seen
And you
seen
were like, this
like
world's
before.
Going straight in the fucking gutter. This world's going to shit.
Like, I don't even know. I mean, it may have even been an ad for the Army or a car commercial, but I distinctly remember something
being
like, attached to the movie.
What's going on here? You know,
especially like in our hometown theater, like you did not see shit like that.
What's
at all.
Funny is that like I'm totally into this stuff. I watched X-Files growing up, but I actually did watch it like you, Pete. Like I didn't keep up with the story. I didn't watch it every single week, but anytime I saw
I'm
it,
I'm the same
on,
way too.
It, I watched it, but And I don't even remember the movie coming out. So I don't know. I don't know where I was. I was blacked out in 1998. But what's
you know,
what's
I,
funny is that my husband, going. Joe, who says hi, by the way. He loves you boys.
Hi, Joe. Handsome Joe.
Has seen this movie multiple times because there was one summer that he stayed with his mom where something got messed up with, like, the subscription channels. And it was a free summer of pay-per-view. And this was one of the movies.
I think that Joe told us that when we went to Scream 2
but
at the cemetery.
I love
Scream
the idea
was also
of,
one of,
like,
them.
You two, like, young guys just like, yes, X-Files movie. I'm going to
watch
this multiple
this
times.
Multiple times. We owned it. We bought it at Costco.
This shit is so heavy on, like, dialogue, and you have to be following along. I was like,
"Don't
what
yeah,
the
don't
hell?
Go to the bathroom. because you will come back and you will have missed
Martin Landau's popping in and out.
And I think that's why I really liked revisiting it, because it was so complicated and story driven. And my 13-year-old brain could not really follow along with it, so I just would have
I would have to keep watching it to take notes as you're watching
So I'm like, okay, so they found the bodies of the firemen and the kid from the cave from Texas, and they put them in this building, but it may have been another building.
if we can mention the plot, it's essentially the plot of Evolution, which also stars David Duchovny and a hot redhead.
I was fully getting Evolution as I was watching it, with like the hole, and then they cover
then
up the hole,
an
and then like
down
the,
there,
all
the government's trying to cover down up. In there. Yes,
yes, I was
it's
definitely
totally
getting
Evolution
vibes
only.
From this movie. Yeah,
not
okay.
Fun.
So
thank you.
So Pete, we revisited this movie last night. I bought it off iTunes, so I can now revisit this yearly. Now I can watch it anytime. I also bought the sequel follow-up that was made.
It was cheaper to buy them
like
both together.
15 years later that I have not seen.
I can't wait to watch this movie.
So I'm excited to watch that. I'm gonna kind of go back and revisit some of my favorite episodes of the show. But Pete,
yes.
What was your initial impression of going into this movie pretty much cold?
Okay, so I had never seen this movie, and my frame of reference for it is I was a DVD player early adopter.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
I bought my first DVD player like they were brand new. It was the size of like a microwave. It like cost like $800. Like, it was crazy. And some of the early DVDs at the time Fox
was like, was really into marketing DVDs.
So I had the first X-Men, and I have, to this day, I still have my special edition copy of The Abyss. And when you put them in, they have this sizzle reel for like Fox movies. And it's just all these trailers, and they're kind of singing the praises of like what you can do with these special edition DVDs.
Are you ready for Fox DVD video?
I want you to hit me as hard as you can.
What? Fox DVD video.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
Unbeatable movies.
Welcome to Fight Club.
Not what you think.
Unbelievable features.
Hold on to something.
Full 3D cutting edge menus.
Why wasn't I told about this place?
Director and actor commentary.
I tried to come up with some signature X-File visuals, but
alternate ending.
Interactive menus.
You can click
feature length commentaries.
You can click on these four things.
Yeah. When you press pause, it doesn't jump up and down. Like, that was a game changer. I remember the first time I paused the DVD. I
was
like,
still,
oh, girl, look at that.
You're like, this is
still
the future.
That was technology, mama. I was like, worth every $800
new
of those
millennium.
Dollars.
No,
it wasn't
excuse me. Millennium. We're here.
The new Menium. Yes. So... It was this trailer was in that sizzle reel for the Fox DVD special edition movies, and it was like excellent. And the image that I remember is them, and now I know it's from when they're inside of the giant like nipple boob like things,
the giant nipple boob in the middle of the cornfield,
and the panels open, and it was all the panels like opening, and them just like running from
so
the bees.
Bees,
and that was like a big shot in that like little reel, and I was like, oh, the X-Files movie. I never got around to watching that. Interesting. Okay, so we watch it. I'm watching it cold. First thing I'm thinking of, I'm going, that is not Dallas, as I'm watching. Looking off the rooftops going, I could swear that said one.
I could swear, and this is downtown LA.
I saw it said Wilshire, and I know the one Wilshire font on that building, and I was like, I could swear that was one Wilshire. But then I'm looking off in the distance, and there's no hills, there's no like San Gabriel Mountains, so I'm like, well, I guess it can't be LA because that's not the right background. It's like, it looks flat. And then they cut to another angle. And I was like, and I turned into like Leo, like whistling, like pointing at the screen, like every building. I'm like, that's downtown LA. But they must have painted out the background.
The hills
and then just...
I remember the special features on my tape because, like, the tape had, like, a making of segment at the very end of it. They talk about all of the digital effect work that they did to the environments.
Yeah.
And my 13-year-old mind was blown that they're not actually in Antarctica at the end of the movie. That's all a computer.
I mean, for 1998,
it
doesn't look half bad.
Honestly, I was, when I had a memory of a lot more like 90s CGI vomit, and there's not really that much in this movie. It's very practical effect heavy. I was pleasantly surprised. Yeah.
Practical effect heavy, and they're not overly showy visual effects.
I mean, the CGI that they're using is stuff to mask things.
Yeah, it's like on top of things that are already there. Mm-hmm. Like, there was no, like, crazy CGI alien at the end. Obviously, there was, like, a UFO, which was the biggest thing I've ever seen. It's the biggest UFO in history.
That was Independence Day size.
Which there's a nod to Independence Day in the movie because Mulder leaves the bar because the bathroom is out of order to pee in the alley, and he pees on a poster of Independence Day.
On the poster. Is that some light shade?
Yeah,
Chris Carter went there.
That was some shade for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, those bar scenes of when he walks out, I'm like, oh, that is like Broadway. That is Broadway in Los Angeles. Yeah.
But that was the thing. I was like, this is 1998. I don't think they can do digital set extensions like this. I didn't think it was
ahead of their time.
Like their kind of wheelhouse, but I guess so. And I was like, yeah, I was vindicated. It was downtown Los Angeles. And yeah, the bar is a bar in downtown LA. Glenn Headley, RIP. The bartender, just like tiny little nothing role. 86 is Mulder at the very beginning of the movie.
I think that was like a Chris Carter thing that he really liked.
R.I.P. Okay. Did she
pass? They were going to put her in a little bit part of the movie. R.I.P.
She did
a few years ago.
She did.
It was very young, very unexpected. So one of the things that I was kind of like, because I didn't keep up with the full run of the show, and I'm not super steeped in the lore. I guess we call it the mythology, the lore of X-Files, I was never really sure that they were that blatant with the like, yes, these aliens do exist, the little green men are here, and it wasn't just like spooky Mulder and it's just like crazy like weirdo theories. I mean, I knew there were monsters. I knew there were, you know, I knew there were like vampires and stretchy guys and, you know.
But you didn't think that there was a full like ET.
But I don't know. Something in my brain was like, no, they never really went there. But then in the movie, first scene, straight up little gray alien eating a Neanderthal.
I love these opening scenes of the movie. These like quest for fire scenes, I think they're so well done.
Was that a nod to 2001:
Very unexpected of that 2001: A Space Odyssey.
Why not?
I mean, I also love beginning a movie like this, kind of thinking like, did I?
Yeah, where am I right now? Why are we in a cave with two Neanderthals?
But also fits in just with, I mean, if aliens were here, they were probably here back. Like way back,
right?
Like thousands of years.
That like there was an alien civilization that came to Earth long before humans were even here, and they're dead now. Like their civilization has ended,
and that stuff is
that's a fascinating thing. Fascinating thing to think about, and I do love, like you said, like walking in and being like, did I walk into the wrong movie? And it really made me. All I wanted, like, after that was I was like, why don't we have an alien movie in the time of cavemen? And then I was like, okay, Ashley, take a step back. we did get Prey, and I think that's as close as we're going to get.
Yeah.
But I love that concept of like taking these extraterrestrials and putting them in different time periods, and putting them in time periods like in Prey with like the early Native Americans, and like putting them in like ancient China, and like battling an ancient Chinese ancient Chinese warriors. I'm all in.
Sure. I mean, I don't know if we can. Maybe we'll stay away from ancient Egypt. That's too easy.
Too controversial. Too controversial.
Yeah.
Did you?
Oh, well, there's Stargate.
There's Stargate. Did you ever end up watching Stargate? I think that I messaged you about Stargate when you did your ancient Egypt episode. I was like, oh, actually,
well,
you need
and
to see
I've
Stargate.
We've done episodes on Keep It Weird about Stargates. Like, Stargates is an actual theory that exists, that there are portals, and that's why we get super haunted places. That's why we get woods infested with Bigfoot. That's why we get Nessies. It's because there are these like portals to other dimensions all over the planet. Bermuda Triangle being
also
one.
What
of course.
Well, and we were just watching some of the Bermuda Triangle episode.
What a fascinating
X-Files.
Episode.
And also the other
I don't think I'd ever seen it, and then you told me to watch it, and
you'd never
we
seen
watched
it
two nights ago, and I fucking loved it.
So sidebar on that episode, I remember when that episode was about to air and you would hear radio commercials that were ads for TV shows, and that was heavily promoted. It must have been like Sweeps Week or something in November.
Oh, remember when Sweeps Week
they were
existed?
Heavily promoting that episode to get you to watch it. And I always think of those radio spots.
A big time travel episode where there's costumes
and also kind of post Titanic. They could kind of do their old timey ocean liner episode.
Yeah.
Was that filmed on the Queen Mary? Because that looked like the Queen Mary.
I mean,
it probably was.
It probably was. I mean,
but the whole time I was like, "This looks
readily
just
available
like the
to film
Mary.
On."
And you know, they filmed in Los Angeles. It would make sense.
Yeah, it's right there. Yeah.
Another thing that freaks me out about these opening scenes is what is under the ice in Antarctica that could potentially kill us? Of that, if there's any sort of alien. Like life forms or viruses.
I was going to say, I'll tell you what's under there right now. Ancient viruses that we do not have.
And when our ice caps
immunity
melt,
built up for.
And those little fuckers get out into our water and our air, we're in trouble. Mm-hmm. Maybe. I don't know. Theoretically. Theoretically, we're in trouble.
In theory.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
I know, but I love that.
But I love all that
idea, though, of things being in the ice, because that is sort of the final frontier on Earth. It's like the depths of the ocean and Antarctica. Like, we don't know a ton about those areas, and we don't know what's deep in that ice. And, like, especially having watched True Detective Night Country. Hallelujah.
We need to catch up. We have the last two episodes
left.
The Thing,
delicious. The Thing, True Detective Night Country, X-Files Fight the Future, What's in the Ice? Also the episode Ice.
There's also an Ice.
Of X-Files.
Ice. Yeah, I was going to say the episode Ice from
Which
season one.
Which was like very obviously a kind of a ripoff of The Thing. Like it's almost exactly the same plot of The Thing aside from like the person morphing into a giant monster. It's like the exact same plot, but I love that episode. It's one of my favorites.
That episode was on our was in the box set. So I used to watch
it. It was
along.
Ice.
Yep.
Squeeze. Had
Squeeze.
To be.
Yeah. I love that episode. It used to freak me out. And then I remember the episode Eve, which is about like genetic
was it a little girl?
Genetic
was
clones.
A little girl.
It was
clone.
A little girl.
Yeah.
Yep.
Season one rules.
So, I mean, if not for the X-Files TV show, we wouldn't have Buffy the Vampire Slayer. We wouldn't have, I mean, all those shows kind of like take this formula, like
episodic.
What's successful?
Sort of monsters.
I mean, genre TV that looked like this before?
I mean,
X-Files,
it's literally
prior
like
to 93.
It's like if West Wing did The Twilight Zone.
Yeah, I was feeling like I don't. Okay, so here's another
Outer
thing
Limits.
That, I'm going to circle back to this in a second. The very first scenes of X-Files Fight the Future. I'm talking
not the cavemen,
not the
not the cavemen and the ancient aliens. I'm talking Mulder and Scully on a rooftop. There's a bomb. We got to evacuate the building. I'm like, if I didn't know this was an X-Files movie, this is the opening scene
or 24.
Speed, right? This is, yes, yeah. So at this point, now it's procedural. Now it's, you know, and law enforcement procedure, yeah. Which is still good, still interesting.
Absolutely.
I love Speed, right?
And find out later that the reason that the bomb was in the building was to cover up the aliens, which we know the government is capable of.
yeah.
But
it's interesting that this type of show, it's like they're FBI agents, but now we've got this twist and
kind of an odd couple formula
too. And they take it
too.
So seriously. Right. Like Dana's explanation for certain things is very scientific, and she's a doctor. She's a literal surgeon. Like, she's the smartest woman alive.
Yeah.
Like, her explanations are very scientific and very thorough. And even Mulder, like, you know, he dips into some like really legitimate lore that exists, which is why like this things like this book are possible, because it's like, no, everything in the show is based off of actual things that have happened. Obviously, they take a lot of creative liberties in like those things, but there times throughout history where civilizations did believe vampires existed. So like they take the lore of those creatures and add them to the show, or you know, genetic mutations and genetic enhancements. That's all over the history of the CIA. Like, they worked with
all
kinds of weird shit back in the 60s and 70s and like during the Cold War, and they were experimenting with like reading minds and teleportation.
What is it?
MK Ultra. They were dousing each other with LSD to see if they could like change people's memories. It's fucking wild.
I mean, that's the whole baseline of Stranger Things.
Yeah,
MK Ultra, right?
Firestarter.
This is kind of the first time that just a casual TV watcher is kind of introduced to this. I mean, you know, now we have
Fringe.
Aliens and we have, and it's like, I don't know. I think for what it's worth, listen. Ancient Aliens, Eric Von Daniken, Chariot of the Gods. Like, that shit is,
oh my God, Chariot of the Gods. Ashley, when we worked at Barnes & Noble, now I'm just flashing back to the New Age section in those wild Chariot of the God books.
You would find me hiding during my shift flipping through Chariot of the Gods.
That's what I'm saying. And, you know, what's his name with the crazy hair?
Ancient Aliens.
No.
Aliens. Yeah,
the Greek guy on Ancient Aliens.
Yeah, we wouldn't have Ancient Aliens probably if we didn't have X-Files, because that is literally what got the average Joe thinking about extraterrestrials being here before, you know, humans were.
Right. And there's something about the research that goes into it. You know, in the vampire episode 3 that we were watching, he talks about like, oh, there's this virus, and you know, sensitivity to the sun, and you need small doses
vitamin
of like
D and hemoglobin
or whatever, and all this. And he's like, this is probably, you know, ignorance of this disease gave rise to vampire lore. He said in China. He didn't even say like Eastern Europe, like going further back, you know. So it's like these little bits of info and research that in a pre-Wikipedia kind of world, all we can consume is what we're watching on network TV.
Yeah, what a perfect time for the show to be on too, because that was around the time that we had things like internet forums. So you could have total geeky nerds on there making their X-Files fan
sites.
Bet
the internet forums in the mid-90s, in the early days of the internet, were off
the chain. That's exactly where I would have been I had the ability.
Bulletin boards.
At that time, I was still learning how to type with my like Timon and Pumbaa computer game. So I wasn't on the forums. They missed me.
I'm proud of you.
I was on ICQ messaging my neighbor. Yeah.
Oh my goodness. Not ICQ. But yeah, I think that was just kind of like, I think there was a very, like, if you know, you know, kind of feeling about watching the X-Files and, like, being a fan, you know, and just kind of, like, finding your people of just, like, yes, it did go mainstream and it was huge.
And also early days of con culture.
Totally.
Too. Yeah. I mean, cons have been around since the 70s, but now kind of X-Files was its own little niche into stuff like that.
But like Ashley was saying too, this is still the time when, you know, nerd culture and all that is not
definitely not
like
mainstream. But I think that's where the X-Files was able to kind of be more than just genre, because it was half procedural. Like, there were some episodes that did not have monsters and were pretty straightforward, like, procedural type episodes that didn't have, like, people being possessed by lightning.
I mean, also, that was critically recognized. I mean, stuff like The Outer Limits wasn't nominating its actors for Emmys. But I mean, I think both of them won their categories multiple years, and I think that they both have Golden Globe wins too. So it kind of broke through like the critical mainstream to respect shows like respect genre shows.
And I
like
feel
this.
Like it's a fun revisit for anyone, even if you're not like a huge genre fan, because of the amount of guest stars on the X-Files. Is out of this fucking world. Even the movie, like the X-Files movie, like every scene, I was like, they're in this? He's in this? What's he doing here?
Same. I was like, is everybody in this movie?
Blythe Danner shows up as, I mean, just like head FBI lady.
Yeah.
Martin Landau.
Yeah, a lot of people just.
What's his name from Lost? There at the beginning, we lost him fast.
Locke.
John Locke was there.
We did lose him fast. I was like, was Locke from the show? Scott's like, no.
Also, the kid from Sling Blade is the kid that falls in the hole.
Lucas Black.
I was like, is that the American Gothic kid? But I didn't say anything. I did think.
And
it
he's in one of the Fast and Furious movies.
And he's in Friday Night Lights.
Like, Tokyo Drift or something.
I think it is Tokyo Drift.
Yeah.
Yeah. So many actors in the movie.
So when they're developing this show, is Dana Scully kind of torn from our Clarice Starling cloth?
Totally. Oh, absolutely.
She's a total Clarice Starling.
Down to her styling, the haircut and everything. Yeah.
There's some styling of Gillian Anderson that had peak cackling of when they're out. When they're out, like, near the cornfield, and there's a big wide shot, and you really get a good shot of what Jillian's wearing.
Well,
and
let me just say...
The coat that she's wearing.
Let me just say this. For a woman of her stature, she should not be wearing mid-calf length skirts. They just cut you at the leg, and they make you look tiny. Yeah, she's so short, she shouldn't be wearing this length of skirt. What is
going
on?
That's the only length they had in 1998.
This is true.
They
this
didn't
is
make
true.
Them different.
Yeah, but she was giving like Billy's like horny boss from Gremlins 2.
Oh my god!
She was like giving Marla like
the cut of like her coat, her coat that she's wearing.
A great performance. That woman, so good.
That woman's on a different planet.
But no,
she love her for it.
She's playing checkers, and everyone else on that in that movie is, or she's playing chess.
Everyone else in that
movie is
playing solitaire.
But Scully at another point is wearing she's wearing business suits, right? She wears business suits, but one of the coats that she's wearing is like wrapped like with a belt, like a trench coat, like around her waist, so it's high up on her actual waist, but then the coat goes long past her hips, so it's like a short trench coat. It doesn't know if it's a short trench coat or a long jacket.
The movie may have made us gay. The fashion did not. Okay? And it doesn't improve on the show.
That's the thing.
It was hard
for
everyone.
Fashion. Not great. Yeah. This is my problem with the kids these days. One of my problems.
They don't
with
know
the
how to suffer.
And they're just idolization
through fashion.
Well, they think that they got it. They think they're like, I know 90s. You're like,
no, you
don't.
Your shoulders need to touch your ears. No. Your shoulder pads are not deep enough.
No.
Well,
they're
and
getting
I think
it all
that's
wrong
sort of, you
what,
know, I do think it's hard to look past, because she was a hottie from episode one. And as an adult, I can look back and
yes.
see that. I can be like, she's a hottie.
Yes.
But.
And she mm-hmm. kind of has this glow up
she
as
totally
the seasons
does. Well,
go
and also,
on too.
Just as a yes. woman, she loses some baby fat in her face. You know, she right. doesn't have yeah, any work yeah. done. She just matures, and she, boy, does she mature. Mm-hmm. She is like a fine wine. She is hot mm-hmm. today.
oh, my God.
She might be
she's
hotter
looks
today.
Looks amazing
yeah.
today.
She might look better.
Yes.
She was in, like, Sex Education.
So
even as Margaret Thatcher,
yes.
she was fucking hot.
Yeah. I was going to say, even her Margaret Thatcher is kind of a serve. She is so
she is
good,
so
on, the
good
crown.
On the crown.
She's
like
very
she,
good. She's very good.
Like
yeah.
it kind of opened me up that, you know, Margaret Thatcher is kind of a fascinating
totally.
Person. Of like when you just look at this woman, that it really took Gillian Anderson, not Meryl Streep's mm-mm. Oscar-winning performance mm-hmm. in The Iron Lady. It
I
took
think
until
Gillian
in the Crown for me to really
better.
Like yeah. see that.
A
yeah.
More
yeah.
interesting portrayal. Definitely. Yeah, no, she's actually
yeah.
fantastic. And that was something that, like, I know later on in life when I looked back on The X-Files to see, like, how it influenced TV and how it influenced the world. I know that I read somewhere that, like, Dana Scully literally, like, doubled women in STEM. Like, women in
oh, I love
any
that.
Type of, like, engineering
that's...
roles and, like, medicine. And, like,
yeah.
she was truly, like, a role model for people. Which
great.
I
yeah.
love.
Did you ever consider a career at the FBI?
Are you kidding me?
When watching
that is
the,
1,000% what I wanted to do. That's actually one of the things that I wanted to do when I was like when I decided I wanted to be an actor. That was like my plan. I was like, I'm gonna be an actor. I'm gonna like get experience acting in like small like productions, and then I'm gonna apply to be in the FBI. And then I realized what that meant. And I was like, you are not going to be able to go undercover.
Don't you usually
you
have to be in law enforcement?
No, you don't.
Yeah. Don't you usually have to be in law enforcement? Okay, I just assumed that it was like the progression of if
no,
you're a police
and
officer.
Here's the thing.
But then I guess that Dana
was
Scully
a doctor,
was a doctor.
Yeah,
so.
And I will say, I'm not going to say any names, I'm not going to say any places, but like I have a friend who's an elementary school teacher who was approached by the FBI and asked her to consider, like, you obviously have to go through, you have to go through a personality test, you have to go through, like, actual, like, intellectual tests, you have to go through physical tests, mm-hmm. and then you can, like, start your career in the FBI. But she has no law enforcement, no law, no nothing. She's an elementary school teacher. And I have a theory. I think it has
wow.
something to do with, like, school shootings. Like, hiring on elementary school teachers. I don't know in what capacity. I don't know what it would lead to, but that was like the thing that popped in my head. I was like, I bet they are targeting teachers to either get like intel from schools or to like put them
right.
in high risk schools, which like how do you even calculate that? But place them in positions where they can
yeah.
maybe even I don't know, like administrators that like go around to different schools. Like, I don't know how they're going to
sure.
incorporate her, but I just think that's fascinating. So, yeah, you don't have to be.
Like an
yeah,
air marshal.
Sort of,
like
yeah,
an undercover
where she
air marshal
would go from
kind of
school
a situation.
To school and be like, hey,
that's
this
so crazy.
That's,
kid is a red flag.
Yeah.
That is interesting, but that also sounds like a lot of work because you have to do two
yeah.
full-time jobs.
Yeah, but I love the idea that this character kind of influences
absolutely.
Generation
yeah, that's
to
the
kind
coolest.
Of go into STEM and. Yeah. Sidebar, she did not go into STEM, but have you seen the images of Kate McKinnon's like junior high Halloween costume
no,
as Dana Scully?
But of course she was.
It's hella cute. It kind of looks like it kind of looks like Clarice Starling, but it's
no,
little
it's
Kate
the
McKinnon.
Hair. The hair is totally Scully.
Yeah.
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 She had
yeah.
posted something on Twitter. I had kind of I tried to look up X-Files LGBTQ. I was like, what connections does it have to that
mm-hmm.
community? Like, are there any standout characters? which there's a lot of fan theories on characters, like which X-Files monsters are totally gay.
Oh, yeah.
But, yeah, a couple of years ago, I guess someone had posted, like, a thank you to Gillian Anderson from Lesbians Everywhere. And even Jane Lynch had, like, retweeted it and was like, I'm one of them.
Oh, wow.
So, like, thank you, Gillian, for everything you've done for the United States of America.
Thank you for our service.
And not for nothing, David Duchovny was in Playgirl. In like,
was he actually in Playgirl, or was one of those things that Playgirl just got a hold of photos?
I think it was an interview.
He actually, yeah. Did he have a?
Yes, but he was not nude. Okay. He was in tighty whities.
He just did some like sexy shots.
He was in tighty whities and a like a white like button down Oxford shirt that was just open.
Okay. I think I do remember this. I mean, he had a David LaChapelle photo shoot.
Is that the one with the teacup on his covering his peen? Yeah.
I can't remember. But David is like no stranger to a sexy photo shoot.
No, not at all. And speaking of photo shoots, the X-Files had a very famous photo shoot. Gillian and David Duchovny had a very famous X-Files photo shoot with some of the coolest pictures I've ever seen. One of them, Dana is sort of doing a Creature from the Black Lagoon.
Sure. I think that was for Rolling Stone.
It sounds like it would be a Rolling Stone type thing, but it was one of the coolest photo shoots I've ever seen. Like, every photo from it was awesome. They're iconic.
Was it Andy Leibovitz? Oh my goodness, look at this. Too Hot for TV, Us Magazine has
good Lord.
Has some Gillian Anderson.
She's
like,
sopping wet.
This is the photo I was thinking of. Is the David LaChapelle photo.
Oh, yeah, that was part. Yes, yeah, that was David part Duchovny. Of the photo shoot. Yeah. Ma'am, so good.
Okay. All right. I mean, yeah, that's the thing. It's like you put two, like, ultra sexy stars in your show. It's like we've got.
Did they ever end up dating in real life?
So. There's a lot of like, I mean, there's a lot not of even... like lore, or maybe not lore, but like there's gossip. Obviously, that they hooked up. There's gossip that they didn't like each other. There's gossip that like you know there were seasons where they weren't talking.
I would imagine that the real truth probably is out there, and it's also
it's
probably
somewhere
in the middle.
I get very, like, enigmatic vibes from Gillian Anderson. Very much like this whole, like, post-X-Files.
Is she British?
Like she kind of disappeared. And
she's not.
The whole, like...
Which blows my mind.
She's not British, but she does this amazing British accent, but she...
That she kind of adopts to her real-life voice.
I think she was born there, but was raised in the States or something like that. But yeah, but again...
Yeah.
Very enigmatic. I'm sure it's all on Wikipedia, but to me, she gives me like, if you are a celebrity and a star in one of the biggest TV shows on the planet, you can still remove yourself from tabloids and all that stuff.
Not have your personal life out there.
If you want to. Yeah. And she's proof that you can do that because it's like... While there is information about her, it's not like, I don't know, we don't see like her children's faces. We don't see like her, you know, at like Walmart or anything. Not that you'd ever go to Walmart, but you know what I mean? It's possible to kind of live this life.
Yeah,
of,
mystery. Of, I mean, and she's come out and she's said, you know, she's actually dated women in the past, which like, of course she has. She's so fucking cool. Ooh. She's so fucking cool. But yeah, like that's all that was said, you know, like it wasn't, she didn't give any details and she doesn't need to. Like we can tell by looking at you that you're cool enough to have slept with a woman, Gillian. and on the opposite end of the spectrum, you have David Duchovny, whose private life was totally out there. That was the first time I remember when he came out, when he said he had to, you know, go to rehab for a sex addiction. That was
addiction.
Absolutely fucking mad. I remember that being all over television.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that was kind of around the same time that Halle Berry's then husband kind of did the same thing.
Oliver Martinez?
No, it was the other one. I'll have to look him up. But I feel like Halle Berry was married to someone, and it was one of those things where it's like, who cheats on Halle Berry? How do you cheat on your wife when she's the most one of the most beautiful women on the planet? And his excuse was like, sex addiction. And it was like kind of around the same time, so it was kind of in the air of like, okay, we're making this a thing
we're
now.
We're all going to talk this about is, sure it.
It's a valid thing.
But also joke about it, because there's so many jokes about like, what guy doesn't have a sex addiction? It's like, no, thing sure. that some people struggle with
not me. I was gonna say not me googling sex addiction celebrities.
Was that one of Hugh Grant's? I something tells me that Hugh Grant had said something about that when he got caught cheating on Elizabeth Hurley as well.
Yeah,
I'm not seeing Hugh Grant, Russell Brand, Kanye West, Tiger Woods,
Tiger.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tiger. Charlie Sheen, because I mean, yeah. Also, yeah.
Charlie Sheen was in the news a lot around that time as well.
Mm-hmm. Hugh Grant would make sense, too, because of the whole, it's that argument of you have Elizabeth Hurley and you choose to go out at night and pick up prostitutes.
What?
Like, what is. Make it make sense. Yeah.
Yeah. It took, I think.
But again, maybe he just never said, like, he never copped
and
to
it. And I think it took a long time. I think it took into Tiger Woods's, especially Tiger Woods, when we actually had names of women, numbers of women. He had this family, a gorgeous wife, like all this stuff. And I think it took that situation for people to go, oh, men don't cheat on like women who are hotter than their wife. Maybe it's about something else. It's like, yeah, maybe. Or like when Arnold Schwarzenegger cheated on what's her toes, his wife with like the Marie Shriver with the with the like maid or whatever, and the housekeeper. Scandals all around.
So David Duchovny was famously married to Taya Leone for a while, who is
another hottie,
famous actress in her own right. Another hottie. They're no longer married, right?
No.
Yeah, that ended. I'm looking up. Excuse me. I'm looking up Gillian Anderson, and it says here. In 2016, Anderson was appointed an honorary officer of the Most Excellent Order of the British Empire. She has an OBE for her services to drama. Now, so that means that she probably...
Is British?
Is British.
She
born in Chicago.
She probably has...
Went to DePaul.
She probably has dual citizenship.
Ma'am, who are you? Where have you come from?
Her Thatcher was,
was
that good.
I think she is a government plant.
You know, I mean,
she's just keeping watch
and
over
putting
him.
Her in X Files is the ultimate switcheroony, like the ultimate joke, because she is a government plant. She was created in a lab.
She was nominated for an Olivier Award. Oh, that's just a theater award. That's
but I mean, it would track that she would have dual citizenship, though.
Sure. We won't read through her. We won't scan through her entire Wikipedia here, but suffice it to say, she has an Order of the British Empire. I don't know if that makes her Dame Gillian Anderson. Possibly, if you get that.
Yeah, is that what that means? Is that what Judy Dench has?
That's like Sir Anthony Hopkins. Yeah.
It was Judy ordained. Yeah.
Yeah, Judy Dench has. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
I like to think that all of these celebrities that have this like Order of the British Empire that are like Sir and Dame, like when the shit
we're
hits the fan,
them.
they're gonna have to get like a sword. And,
they're gonna have to get a sword and a shield.
We're calling them. They're all octogenarians. But we're calling them.
Yeah, I was gonna say Anthony Hopkins, Sean Connery,
Ian McKellen,
Judy Dench. Put them on a horse. Fight them dragons.
Put Judy in some like Joan of Arc armor.
I do think that the X-Files pigeonholed her a little bit for the time. I mean, that's the thing is that they were both doing the show for almost a decade. So,
and in 2002.
It's not necessarily that it pigeonholed. That was their job. You know what I mean? And that wasn't really a huge time for people who were on television to do movies. There wasn't a lot of crossover there.
That's true.
Nowadays, yeah, you get a ton of movie stars popping up in TV, but and vice versa. But I feel like at the time it was like, we have the TV people and we have the film people.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I also think that somebody like Julian is very choosy of the type of roles that she's in.
Well,
too. That she does work, but they're always kind of stuff that she really wants to do.
Yeah, she doesn't work a lot, but when she does, well, she nails it.
Right. And Scott brought up an interesting thing as we were watching it. He said, like, what other TV shows have, like, gotten, like, a movie franchise?
Oh, I love...
Started off...
I love the genre of, like, movie that's based on a television show. Right. Do we want to, like, discuss what our favorites, like...
Well, because I was going to say, that doesn't necessarily mean it's a launching point for them to go and be movie stars.
Entourage.
But it does, you know, it... Entourage, but you know, Sex in the City.
But just that that progression of a television show of we're going to do X-Files, the movie.
Right. And it's difficult to look it up because there are so many iterations. There's things like the Brady Bunch movie and the Flintstones movie where it's like we had the TV show concept and then we turned it into, the Beverly Hillbillies. So that's one thing. And then there's like animated shows. There's like a million Pokemon. So like when you look up these lists, it's filled with like 10,000 Yu-Gi-Oh movies. Yeah. So
I think that stuff like the Addams Family.
Yeah, the Addams Family
is one of my favorites. We were just discussing.
But again, that's something that's a little bit different in that it's not the television show
cast. Or like,
cast.
I mean, also the subgenre of sitcom. That they make a movie out of years later.
Right. Which is fun, you know. I think like some of the bigger, like larger examples of that are some things like Sex and the City, where they had three very wildly successful movies. Something like
Tales
Star
from
Trek,
the Crypt?
Where it was the original cast.
Kind of.
You know, that's anthologies, but we got the Crypt Keeper.
Crypt Keeper's involved.
He's our crossover guy.
It was a Tales from the Crypt prison.
I love it.
Although, I guess those weren't like huge blockbusters. Those were still pretty genre heavy. The general public wasn't going to see Demon Knight.
Oh my God, we saw Billy showed us Demon Knight. I had never seen it. First of all, how had I never seen Demon Knight? And we watched it on Halloween at Billy's apartment, and I was like,
"This movie is legitimately really good."
We need to sit down and properly watch it.
I was just like,
oh my
God.
It's actually a good
movie.
The plot is actually fantastic. The performances are great. I also just learned that Jada Pinkett Smith is 5'1".
Oh, yeah.
No one told me. That woman, I've always assumed that she was like close to 6 feet tall because she has that sort of, I don't know if she gives off a vibe. She gives off a tall vibe.
She
carries herself like she's a tall woman. I
but
agree.
That would make Will like 7'1" because he's
a freak. That's true. Okay, that's fair. I guess I never pictured them standing side by side.
No.
Why would you
really? I think we're not going to count The Facts of Life Go to Paris.
No,
because those are TV movies.
Those were TV, like they've like blocked off all of these shooting dates to go to another country.
Yeah, Australia and Paris from The Facts of Life. But I'll give the sitcoms that are kind of reworked and brought to the movie screens. I feel like Charlie's Angels might be one of my favorites.
Oh yeah, Charlie's Angels is great.
This movie has such
it's
great
so stupid,
soundtrack.
But I love it.
I tell you what, I don't remember the movies as much as remember the soundtracks of the movies because I had the CD and I bought it at Walmart.
Okay. Oh, you want to talk about soundtracks? This movie, first of all, none of these songs are in the movie.
This movie soundtrack is out of control. I remember, I grew up on movie soundtracks. Like, I would always get them whenever I went to Target, Kmart, Sam Goody Musicland.
FYE.
I would always look at the movie soundtracks. I never bought the X-Files soundtrack, but I would always listen to it when you go to these
music
stores in the mall, and you could sample the...
Yeah.
And you could sample the songs.
Okay. So it's called The X-Files, The Album. It's the soundtrack album released to accompany
Okay.
The film. Now, you both tell me where in this movie do we... Oh, I think we hear the Foo Fighters.
The Foo Fighters is in the end credits.
There's the Cardigans, Better Than Ezra, The Cure, Bjork, Soul Coughing, Sarah McLachlan, Tonic.
In this
Foo
movie?
Fighters, Ween. Yes!
What a soundtrack.
I don't know that half of these songs are
movie. I remember that Cardigan soundtrack because I was a huge Cardigans fan when I was a kid. I still am.
Hunter by Bjork? I don't recall
I feel like
that
maybe The Cure
movie.
Might have been played at the bar. Maybe
More Than This by The Cure, but is it a cover of More Than This? I don't know. This is a weird.
That Noel Gallagher song is really interesting
from the credits.
It is. It doesn't have lyrics. It's like
it's an instrumental.
It's like an instrumental.
Okay, I don't believe this. I'm going to watch the movie again tomorrow.
Yeah, I was looking
That's
at
like
this,
the first song that comes
I
up
found
in the credits.
This, I found this track listing on Wikipedia, and it's, yeah,
okay.
I was just like, okay.
Sure. I mean, sure. I just saw it last night, I don't remember any of this. I will say, at one point when we were watching the movie, it was towards the end, and the X-Files score is throughout, but it's built up to be quite a bit bigger. And Joe looked at me and goes, they're having a lot of fun. That's what he said. They're having a lot of fun with this score. And I was like, they are. I'm so happy for them. Like, they're having a blast with this
score.
They're
expanding.
I mean, from everything that I've read about the movie, pretty much everybody that worked crew on the show did the movie.
Absolutely.
So, I mean, probably they got a cinematographer had worked on various episodes, and they could film it like a movie. So, like, how much fun would that be for the crew that we can, like, really put on a show?
And, like we were saying earlier, back then, there was not a lot of crossover. You worked in television or you worked in films. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a ton of crossover between the crews because it really is a completely different animal filming a TV show and filming a movie.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the crews are part of that as well. So they're probably stoked to be in this. Okay, so listen to this. There is a reworking of the X-Files theme by the Dust Brothers.
Who scored Fight Club.
Very 1998. Mm-hmm. It is
very 90s.
14 minutes long. And there is a hidden track.
I remember hidden tracks on CDs.
Spoken word by Chris Carter.
What?
So, yeah, it's a thing that you just continue to let the CD play after the song ends.
If you're listening on your Discman in your car, if you're on a road trip, you just have to press fast forward at the very end of the album.
Or just let
the dead air
overcome you until he starts talking.
And then but it's a spoken word track of Chris Carter's voice.
Does that say?
What is it?
I have a feeling it's something like the end of Cloverfield, where it's just him like whispering backwards. Like it's his voice like played backwards.
God. Oh my
with
God.
A secret code embedded inside.
We'll see if this is on Spotify. I'm sure it's not.
Spotify doesn't have the guts.
I think that this sounds like something that you should immediately pick up if you're at a secondhand music store, someplace like Amoeba or something.
Yeah, this would absolutely be something.
You need to pick this up, and this needs to be on rotation in my car CD player with the Nowhere soundtrack and the Scream soundtrack that are just
People
always
in
my
car
at any given moment.
What are we listening to? And you'll be like, X-Files, Fight the Future. 1998, it's a great soundtrack. It is full of songs that aren't
okay,
in
I'm
the
seeing
film.
Yeah, I'm seeing music from the television series.
What, Spotify?
No. Okay, it's there, but it's that thing where it's blurred out.
Oh,
like you have to buy the album or something.
I mean,
it's fucking monster.
Yeah, it's weird, like music rights issues.
See, but this says music from the television series, but this is the track listing that Wikipedia says is
from the movie
from the
music from and inspired by
the X-Files, the album. Yeah, that's very Dick Tracy inspired by.
Well, I mean, I remember the Batman and Robin soundtrack is like this because the thing about movie soundtracks at this time in the 90s, this was like the golden age of movie soundtracks because it was a way to market the movie in places like Sam Goody in the mall.
Yeah.
That it's like promoting your movie.
Yeah, soundtracks used to be a big part of it. I mean, I had I mean, I had all the classics. I had the Josie and the Pussycat soundtrack. I had all the Charlie's Angels movies. I had Hardball. Yeah. Okay.
I still will listen to the shit out of the Go soundtrack.
It's so good.
Go, yeah.
I didn't realize X-Files had a killer soundtrack, but I guess I have to look up more.
Yeah, look it up, man.
All right, so listeners, you probably have guessed that we're not doing a traditional kind of
too hard
recap of this movie because there's no fucking point. Yeah. Just because still to this day, like, I've seen this movie probably well over 10 times since I've been a kid. That I'm very familiar with it, but there's something about this story that I have to be paying close attention to, and I did not have Wikipedia when I was 13 years old to follow along with that we can do now. Should we just talk about what are some of our favorite scenes are?
Totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really liked it when they first walk into one of the boobs in the cornfield, and Scully... full disclosure, I was high when I watched the movie. Scully walks in and she goes, "It's cool in here."
Fair.
And I was like, "Yeah, it's fucking awesome." And then I realized she meant it was cold.
Temperature wise.
She goes, it's cool in here. And I was like, "Yeah, it's fucking dope in there, dude." But she meant temperature wise, it was cold.
It's all lit up.
Yeah, it's fucking lit in here.
I love those. I love the scenes as they're driving because it kind of summarizes up this character relationship when they're in the car and they're having their back and forth of like, you drug me all the way out here in the middle of nowhere. Are we going left or right? And Fox drives straight.
5 years together, Scully. How many times have I been wrong? Never. Not driving anyway.
Just like, I love shit like that. That's very, like, informed of the characters that we're very familiar with the TV show.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that, like...
Yeah.
What is interesting about the show is that Mulder is wrong a good amount of the time. Doesn't mean that it isn't a conspiracy. He's just wrong about certain things, and I think that that's what keeps it... Because it would get pretty old if every time Mulder suggested something, Scully was like, "Mulder!" And it's like, he's right every fucking time. But he's not. He drives them in the wrong direction several times in the TV show. So, I mean, it does get a little old when it's like, Scully, just fucking listen to him. He's obviously done his homework, okay? This is season 5. Like, just follow Mulder. Mulder is technically, if you look at, like, the definition of, like, a good detective, he's a great detective because he follows where the clues lead, no matter how silly or outlandish or unbelievable they seem. Whereas, like, you watch a lot of true crime stories these days. I don't know. Did you guys watch that new one, The American Nightmare? Okay, so, like, something happens. This woman goes missing, and when she is found... Her and her fiance are telling the police, like, these guys came in, they set up cameras, they took me, they held me hostage, they held me for ransom and all this stuff. And the police are just so convinced. Like, their story is so outlandish that the police don't even investigate it. They are so convinced that these people are just making shit up for attention or whatever, that they don't, even though there are clues that what these people are saying did happen. And that's basically every true crime documentary is both a story about a murder and a story about how the police fucked up the investigation. Pretty much, like, through line, every true crime documentary is about that. If we had more Fox Mulders, more crimes would get solved, because he really does. He just follows where the evidence leads him, even if it's ridiculous.
He has the right intuition with stuff, because at the beginning of the movie, he knows that him and Scully should be looking in the other building.
Yeah.
Just because he had that.
Yeah, and
just
he's like,
he had
you don't
feeling.
Have to be here. But I got a feeling that that's the wrong building.
There's a famous X-Files crossover episode where they visit Springfield, USA. And they visit the Simpsons.
That episode is wild, by the way. If you're, like, a big Simpsons fan,
it's a really,
like,
funny episode.
I love
it's
the
a weird
Simpsons
funny episode.
But there's, you know, there's the whole thing where there's, you know, Homer reports seeing an alien and they go to investigate. And at one point, Scully tells Mulder, like,
well, gee, Mulder, there's also this report of a shipment of drugs and illegal weapons coming into New Jersey tonight.
I hardly think the FBI is concerned with matters like that.
That sounds like something for the DEA. Get me out of here.
Yeah. Yeah. Because that's the thing. At the end of the day, they're FBI agents, but they're on these, like, kooky cases. But, you know.
I mean, somebody's got to do them for the FBI.
Somebody's got to investigate these.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there something like the X-Files in the real life
FBI? Totally. I mean, the guy.
Is there any equivalent?
Chris Carter himself, I believe, worked. Was it Chris Carter? Listen. Here I am looking at my book.
I love it. I mean, there has to be, though, because there's all these things that are like these reports and men in black and black helicopters and,
yeah,
you know, all of these. These things that happen. No, they're
definitely.
They got to get covered. Yeah, somebody's got to cover it up.
Are portions of the FBI. I don't think that these days it's something like Dana and Scully, Dana and Scully. Mm-hmm. Dana and Scully, those famous characters. Mulder and Scully. But there's definitely departments that have to investigate strange things like this. And I don't even think it's department. I think it's sort of like, you know how they have operations. So it'll be like Blue Book was the big one for extraterrestrials in the 70s, sure, with like J.L. and Hynek and all them. And it came out much later that like Operation Blue Book, or was it Blue Book? Yeah. No, that doesn't sound right. But yeah, when it came out later that like actually what they were doing is they were going to these places and investigating and then telling people that what they saw wasn't real, even though it was. Like J. Allen Hynek, yeah,
so came straight up
literally
Men in Black
that's
style.
How we get the stories of the Men in Black. Like they went to these places, investigated these towns where, you know, hundreds of people saw, you know, football field size crafts, and they would go there and say, well, actually what you saw was Uranus. And they're like, oh, okay. Sure. I think I know the difference between a football field
it was
size
a weather
craft
balloon
and Uranus, but fine.
Yeah.
So what's
Project Blue Book?
So what is is sort of the term for an alien attack?
Attack?
Or like if aliens are attacking
invasion?
Earth, do they call it anything with like FBI in the White House? Like project
good question. Like
something
we would know.
Or other is happening.
I don't know. Yeah.
We wouldn't know
yeah,
till later.
Yeah.
We wouldn't know
invasion.
Until the documents were declassified like 30 years later.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel like, yeah, right now, I don't know.
Operation. There's so many good operation names. There was like Blackbird.
Who did that?
Paperclip. Operation Paperclip is when we brought the American government brought over Nazi scientists to work on our space program.
Oh, sure. The guy from October Sky.
And then
Werner
von
that guy.
Frankenstein. And then there was Operation Mockingbird, for example, which was when the American government infiltrated the media and put FBI agents in the top brass at different media departments to control narratives in the news. Like, this is all stuff that got declassified later that we didn't know was happening at the time. Operation Chaos was in the, and COINTELPRO was in the 60s during the civil rights movement. And that is when the FBI and the CIA would implant people into groups like the Black Panthers and cause strife within civil rights groups to try and take them down from the inside. It's fucked up, dude. It's so fucked up.
Ugh, crazy.
Can't
we have anything nice?
ACAB.
We can't have anything
ACAB
nice.
Except Dana and Fox.
Hey, don't get us in trouble with our listener with that kind of talk.
It's a mess out there.
And it really is. Oh my goodness.
I mean,
I don't want to think about no alien invasions, because if they're coming, listen. All right. Can't get too deep into the weeds out here. But like, just the fact that if they exist and they make it here and they're alive, and it's not like, you guys, we've been in that tin can for like 10,000 years.
And we're hungry for thank human God.
It took
flesh.
Us a long time
thank
to
God
get
there's
here.
A rest stop.
Yeah. Yeah. No, if they just are like boop boop boop, set a course for Earth, and they get here in like, you know, 5 Earth days, like, if they have that kind of tech, man, we are doomed.
Oh yeah,
like,
we're fucked.
Come
we're
on,
probably not gonna.
They're not coming here, no, to shake hands. What do they want this disease-ridden, half-dead planet for? They don't want it for anything. We don't want our resources.
The most
we got none
scenario,
left.
There's two that I think are likely. One.
Sure.
I don't think that they're from outer. I don't think they're from outer space. I don't think they're from a different solar system. I think it's more likely that they're interdimensional.
The future?
Are they from under the ocean?
Under the ocean.
Okay. Yeah. 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 I like that.
A lot of them emerge from the ocean and submerge into the ocean, but that could be simply because of, like we talked about earlier, stargates. I know it sounds so silly, but like if they are interdimensional, there has to be a point in which they cross over into the dimension, and
right,
could that be in the middle of the ocean? Absolutely. We don't go out there. It's a good place for it to be. But like I talked about this on
I mean it's like the spaceship in this movie's in Antarctica.
Like it could be, absolutely.
Yeah.
The middle of the desert, there's plenty of places for these things to come in and out and not be detected by us. Although as our technology advances, because we have record of UFOs and lights in the sky and people communicating with us from the sky and from outside of our realm since the beginning of time. It's just like now that our...
I mean, what are those famous lights in... there's like a name for it. You've done episodes on it.
Oh,
Kurt Russell's
Phoenix
seen
lights.
It in his plane.
Phoenix.
The Phoenix lights.
Phoenix lights.
The Phoenix lights. Yeah.
Everyone in Phoenix. Like, there's a lot of people in
Phoenix.
Yeah. The whole city
saw these crafts. Yeah. They got videos of these crafts, and literally the United States government was like, no, you didn't. And it's like, we did. Yeah. So yeah, like the middle of the mountains. I know there's mountains in Phoenix. They could have come out of the mountains. Like, I think they're probably interdimensional. And if that's the case, they're not going to do anything. They're just a natural part of our world anyway. They've been here since the beginning of time. Right. They'll be here till the end of time. They're probably not even going to try and contact us unless something really changes, because we're a fucking mess. And I wouldn't contact us either.
Sure.
TBH.
maybe they helped the Egyptians make that giant eggplant light bulb
thing.
Who knows? Who knows?
Maybe.
They've been here.
They did a solid
maybe
and helped
they
them
made that,
build the pyramid.
Iran battery or whatever that they found. They found like an ancient battery in Iran. Absolutely. Totally possible. If they are extraterrestrial and they're coming from outside a different solar system and coming into ours, which it doesn't seem likely, but if they are, Earth is probably a prison. Or like you know, on Earth right now, we have civilizations that are not touched by us. They're protected. We protect their land and we don't contact them and we stay out of their way, right? That could be what Earth is. It's like, oh, this is a very primitive species. And we study them.
We're a nature preserve.
And we're not allowed
like
to interfere.
That. I like that.
Maybe we take some every I'll once in a while because we need to experiment on them.
Make sure that their genetics are going.
We got to go pick up our Randy Quaid.
Make sure they're evolving correctly. Or like, fixing
like
things maybe on our timelines. Maybe that's why we have Mandela effects, because they're like, oh, no, that was bad. Let's go back, erase it. Half the people will think Nelson Mandela died in the 80s. Half the people will think he died in the 2000s.
I'm still waiting for the post, like, 2016 election Mandela effect. We're all effect, like, but we
I swear to God,
yet.
Donald Trump was president of the United States. I remember it so vividly that he was the president.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just a faint memory.
So just kind of the overarching story is this, like, alien
virus.
And this goo that comes from it. That's this virus that's kind of like, I mean, it's a weapon, right? It's these alien races that are trying to wipe out all
now,
of life on Earth,
and this
right?
This is where I was confused. So the goo that is sort of a weapon is also what kind of, like, births them, right? They, like, they take over your body, like, Body Snatcher style. And make you in, yeah, xenomorph
style,
like a
yeah.
gelatin, and then they burst from your stomach or your, you know, torso,
right?
As a fully grown alien, right?
So, I mean, I guess the goal of these aliens in this movie is that they're just going to recolonize Earth, right?
Yeah.
I think so.
So,
or
what exactly do the bees have to
cells?
Do with this plot?
Have the venom, the poison.
But
so,
that
yeah,
does what? Turn you to goo?
You, but, it turns you to gelatin so that you can.
But the government.
Them?
But the government is in possession of it and they're helping them?
Okay, so the government. Wait. See? We got to watch the movie again.
Yeah, when Baron Munchausen gives him the cure to save Scully. He's a government guy, right? So he had the cure.
What the fuck is this cigarette man doing?
And he knew where...
Because he's obviously the antagonist, right? He's the one that's like, you know, growing the bees.
Is he?
I know. Is he? Is he?
But he's just kind of... He's kind of like the face on the show of... All the shady shit that the government's
doing. He's like
doing.
Who they bring in.
Like,
where
it's all the cigarette man.
This guy's obviously.
Yeah. If he's there,
but he
then
also
you
works
know.
For
so
him.
Then, like, the government is.
X-Files. I need.
Yeah, I was like,
we need an expert.
We've just.
we've
just been X-Files.
I don't know. I lost the plot.
We've just
already.
Been X-Files.
I thought I had it until you brought
and
it
yeah,
up.
And that's the thing about this movie is that. I think that as confusing as these conversations are, I mean, we can sit here and read the Wikipedia page from start to finish.
Yeah.
I do think that there is something that the movie about the movie that does
absolutely.
Work.
Absolutely.
That it does kind of keep you engaged.
Yeah.
And you're
well,
along for this adventure
whole, like,
with
trust
them.
Trust no one is the tagline for the show. And I think they do a good job of this in this movie, obviously. The three of us literally watched it in the last 24 hours and we're like, who is the bad guy?
Yeah.
Who do we trust?
Yeah. I mean, that's all probably just built into the story
absolutely.
With Chris Carter is that he wants it to be a mystery at the end of the day that you
know.
Really
you
don't know.
I mean, at the very end of the movie. So, yes, they find this. Some little podunk kids in Texas. Stumble across this alien goo in the ground that the government already had? Guys?
They know of it.
No, well,
I mean,
no, because...
They know of it, though.
Yeah.
But they were already cultivating the
I mean, I'm assuming that... But I'm assuming that these aliens have just shown up all throughout history. And we just found one in northern Texas.
Obviously,
yeah,
they had
when they figured out that
ship
like,
in Antarctica that was connected to this. So yeah, the Texas
When the feds were like, okay, it ate this boy and it ate a fireman. We know what it is, so now we've got to cover it up. So now the boy and the fireman
but
got killed in the explosion.
You didn't account for
got it.
Fox Mulder getting a sniff, getting a huff of this.
Yeah.
Alien scent.
Yeah.
He
smelled.
They even say
a rat
it in the movie. Like some guy's like, well, at least no one will believe this guy. He's a total whack job. And the cigarette man's like, actually, I know the exact fucking guy that's going to believe him. And he's a problem.
He's a problem.
Which here's my thing. Like, if. The only thing about the X-Files that is unbelievable to me is that Fox Mulder is still alive. that he wasn't killed in season one.
They just haven't. They just haven't like walked into his apartment and just shot him in the head. At this point,
an apartment.
I mean, they take care of Martin Landau.
Yeah, they get Martin. They get Martin Landau.
They knock him off. Like, that character is really interesting, totally. And it's all on purpose that like you're not supposed to like. Clearly, he's been a friend of Mulder's dad, and I think that there's a whole mythology with Mulder's dad that we will not get into. If probably you do a series rewatch, it's a thing that clearly he's telling some sort of the truth, but. Is this guy a whack job? Is he a pedophile? I don't know.
That was something that I thought was super ahead of its time, too, because that's something that happens a lot with extraterrestrial sort of whistleblowers, that all of a sudden child porn is found. And, like, here's the thing. Maybe they're fucking pedophiles. Absolutely. But that is one thing people aren't going to question. No one's going to question if you say that this guy had child porn, put him away, no questions asked, we don't want to touch it. Like, as a general public, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It discredits you immediately. Yeah, that character, Martin Landau in this, reminded me a lot of, do you remember in the movie Phantoms, Peter O'Toole's character in the movie Phantoms? Yeah, in Ben Affleck's Phantom.
I'm familiar. Okay, it's been years since I've seen it.
It's incredible. And Peter O'Toole.
In that movie.
Peter O'Toole is in Phantoms. Wow.
And that movie's about those like creatures that they come out every like few hundred years,
It's essentially the same story as It. Dean Koontz wrote it before It. Uh-oh, Steven. It's about like this ancient evil, if you will. It's like what wiped out the Mayans, what took out the colony at Roanoke, these mass disappearances throughout history that are still unsolved to this day. It's sort of like his explanation for that. It takes over and disappears this entire town in Northern California. But Peter O'Toole is a character who has written about this, and he writes for like an almost like a National Enquirer type magazine. And he writes about like, you know, ancient aliens, but he also writes about this like ancient evil, and he's sort of a hack. But in the town where these people are disappearing, his name is found written on a mirror in lipstick. So they bring him in, but they're like making fun of him because they're like, this guy's a fucking hack. But he ends up being onto something, which I think happens a lot in the UFO and extraterrestrial community, where people are talking about like, no, like the government has footage of UFOs. Like they have the footage and they're not sharing it and they're not admitting to it. And we're like, yeah, okay, whatever. And then all of a sudden, 5 years later, the government's like, yeah, we do actually have this footage. And
actually, we did.
Yeah. There might be a piece of the ship in some like warehouse.
Well, and that's the thing is like now whistleblowers are coming and they're like, no, the government absolutely has craft.
That whole thing with that government.
So fascinating. And of course, we can discredit him now and say he's a quack. But I'm just saying, wait 5 to 7 years, because I guarantee eventually the government's going to be like, yeah, we have a craft. And this is what it looks like, and it defies gravity. And it's from another solar system. And we're going to be like, oh, that guy wasn't a quack. Too bad he killed himself. It's horrible.
I know.
Sorry.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, man. Well, I think, we didn't talk too much. We're kind of getting low on time. But if we want to talk a little bit about, there was a reboot, The X-Files.
I watched a few episodes of it.
Years ago.
I watched the one with Shangela.
Yeah.
I didn't watch the one with Shangela. Shangela was in one?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. Shangela's in one. Mulder has like a run-in with a drag queen, and she's in
love
it.
Love it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I watched a couple episodes. I remember actually really liking one. It was a Monster of the Week episode. That's probably why, because those are always such a treat.
I've heard that the first season of the new episodes was good, and then the follow-up, the last season when you look on IMDb, it's season 11. It was the last one. I hear that one's not as great.
Well, Listen, mm-hmm. that's what happens when you keep doing a TV show after you've run out of ideas.
Yeah. Yeah. But what we have is, what, 9 seasons of great TV and 2 movies. I still haven't seen the second movie. So Scott hasn't seen the second movie. Maybe we'll get to it and report back.
I mean, yeah. We own it now on Apple.
You're the proud owners.
I remember being super stoked for it. Yeah. You know what's funny is I remember being super stoked for X-Files, I Want to Believe, like, as it was filming, like, oh, shit, like, they're doing a new X-Files movie. How much fun is that going to be? And then it came out in the summer, and it didn't get great reviews. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I guess I'll watch it later, and then cut to me.
And later never came.
15 years
I
later,
say,
and I still haven't seen it.
It is as good, if not slightly better, than the first movie. So if you enjoy the first X-Files right. movie, I don't see any reason why you wouldn't enjoy the second X-Files movie. Like, for the people who are like, oh, I hate it. I'm like, well, what are you, did you like the show? Like, it's just the show. It's just more of the show. Like,
the
I don't
show.
Get it. Yeah. Like, how could you not like it? I mean, I do think that this movie, Fight the Future, does go way further than the show did up to that point. What with, like, them actually being on a UFO. I don't think that that had happened before. They might have, like, seen an alien corpse or, like...
I really like that moment. Just kind of our final thoughts of the movie. But one of my favorite scenes of the movie also is when they're out, when they finally, like, get out of the ship. They, like, you think that, oh, shit, like, they're going to die. And then they, like, come up.
Oh, fuck,
like,
yeah.
Lift it up by the ship. And then they're on the ground in that moment with Scully and Mulder where they're just, like, looking at each other. And just kind of, like, how far these characters have come. And this is, like, it's all building up to this moment of when they see the spaceship. And Scully is just like, oh, my God. Like, I've just been through it. I've been, like... encased in this goo, like...
I need
just
a cigarette.
Need fucking,
that's
like,
what she was thinking.
I need a cigarette. I need to close my eyes. Yeah. And Fox is just like, look at
right
Scully. Like,
it's
right there. It's right there, yeah.
Yeah, and I love how the movie ends, too. I love that even after all of the shit that went down, they still get... They still have to do the paperwork. They still have to go file their report.
Yeah.
Go up against all of their superiors who are telling them, okay, where's your proof?
They have they have to face
Blythe Danner. They have to, Gwyneth Paltrow's mom. Yeah. They have to face her. And, and Mulder even says, he's like, after all of that, we get so close every time. And what's the point? Because there's only so far you can go. And I think that that is a frustration that a lot of people have in the real world when they're investigating these cases, because there is only so far you can go. Like, I just read the book. It's really fantastic. It's called Chaos, Charles Manson, the CIA, and the Secret World of the 60s. And it's
I remember you posting about it. Yeah,
incredible, and it's a lot of stuff about what the CIA and the FBI were up to in the 60s and 70s. Nothing good, by the way. But that's the frustration that so many people have, is because you can only file so many Freedom of Information Act requests and get these files with just like pages of redacted information. You will never know. Even there's so many people that are like, wouldn't the president know it? No, the president would not know, because they are not permanent employees.
Oh, if Donald Trump was shared anything like
that
shit would be on Twitter within 10 minutes.
Yeah, that stuff is not
we would all know by now.
Lawmakers. That stuff is stuff the CIA might know about, the FBI might know about, and only small portions of those organizations would know about it too. So yeah, it's just very frustrating. And I like that they showed, even after riding on a UFO momentarily, they still surfing the UFO. They still are back to square one and fucking paperwork back to the basement.
Well, I mean, fun show. People have so many great memories of appointment TV and X-Files just being part of that. And just like, I feel like it was just a shared moment.
I can't even really compare it to anything airing right now. I mean, I guess that there's something like Stranger Things, but I think Stranger Things just feels very different because Stranger Things is a product of streaming television.
Yeah.
Too. That, I mean, that's a whole different can of worms. Oh, yeah, the formulas are just different.
There's not, I mean, the closest thing we got was Fringe, and even that's been off the air for 10 years.
Right. Yeah. That was another one that I was like, I saw the pilot, and I was like, this show's great.
Same.
I'm sticking with this one. And then I watched like
I've seen a couple episodes from every season. I've never sat down and watched the whole show.
Yeah.
Supernatural won over. I think Supernatural aired for over a decade.
These shows work.
It definitely has its fans. These shows work, but I would argue that Supernatural and Fringe, I don't even think came close to breaking through mainstream like the X-Files.
No, I don't think so. I mean, the X-Files is literally like, I mean, X-File is probably in the Britannica. You know what I mean? Like, it's in the dictionary now.
Right.
Like, it
has
become a household name. People know it, and they know Mulder and Scully. And maybe they don't know the Lone Gunman.
Yeah.
I was trying to think of some other X-Files references. Maybe the Smoking Man. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah,
the
you
Smoking
just
Man.
Know
yeah,
these
yeah.
references. Even if you've never seen the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, totally. I agree. I think Supernatural is kind of close to that because it does rabid fans.
But like,
but I'm
Supernatural is not getting nominated for Emmys, though.
No.
In the acting categories.
That's true.
Yep.
No. I don't know. Yeah. This was definitely prestige television and genre television at the same time. And we hardly get that anymore. And yeah, maybe something like Stranger Things is the closest thing as far as like recognition, name recognition, all that kind of thing. But we have all of the X-Files is on, it's on Hulu, right?
It's on Hulu.
Yeah. So that's cool. We can go back and watch our favorites. You guys together kind of compiled this list of like really fun episodes.
We mentioned a kind of our go-to favorite episodes. Mine, I really like the triangle episode where there is an adventure on a mysterious ship that shows up in the Bermuda Triangle. That's a really good one. We mentioned the episode
Classic.
Squeeze from season one. It used to scare the shit out of me as a kid. Classic.
Well,
what are some of your favorites?
In the vein of movies that made us gay, I chose two very sexy episodes. And one is Mulder heavy and one is Scully heavy. And the Fox Mulder episode is in season two episode, I don't know, but it's called Three. And it was a vampire episode. Heavily featured within that episode are fires in the Hollywood Hills, which felt very wild to watch because I didn't know, obviously, before moving there, that like when there were fires in California, that you could see them from your apartment.
It engulfs,
like I did not realize that. Like when
we could see them from our old job in Burbank. You could see the hell on fire. I remember that night.
Flappers down there at Burbank, and I would have to be there at night, and I would be like hosting, and you could just see the fire in the hills.
Yikes.
Driving on the 405 right next to the Getty, the entire hill on fire.
It's a vampire episode, and Mulder gets his dick wet and sleeps with this vampire, sort of, or like familiar. I don't really know what her deal was, but they're in a house that might get evacuated. So that's very cool for anyone who is, you know, a Los Angeles native or...
Yeah, absolutely.
Spooky goes to Hollywood.
We'll post our list of some of our favorite episodes.
What was the Scully one?
I think it was season five. It was called Never Again. It's a really famous episode, actually. It's one where Scully kind of goes off on her own and has kind of a paranormal experience, which doesn't happen a lot. But she meets a guy who basically has a haunted tattoo. So this guy gets a tattoo.
Ooh.
Yeah. He gets like a Sailor Jerry, like Betty Page kind of like sexy woman tattoo. But she's Mm-hmm. Yes. I have a sexy sailor on my arm. Basically, think about getting that tattoo, and as soon as you get that tattoo, you start hearing a voice of the sexy sailor in your head telling you to like kill people and shit.
Oh wow.
Yeah. It's a good episode. Okay. And it's just all Scully, and it's kind of sexy because she kind of has like a will they, won't they thing with the guy who has the tattoo. Highly recommend.
All right. Very fun.
Dude.
Ashley, thank you so much for catching up with us. Like I mentioned before, we need to do this more because it's so fun to see you in our little Zoom window. We miss you. Dude. We miss you and Joe in L.A. You're doing your thing across the country. You look like you're having fun, but we definitely miss you over in Los Angeles.
Absolutely.
You're on break right now with Keep It Weird, right?
But we will be back in like March, April-ish. And I would love to have you guys on again this season.
Absolutely.
It would be really fun. We filled in for you a couple of seasons ago when we did
episode of Keep It Weird to this day in 8 seasons that I was not on it. And you guys were.
Wow.
Yeah.
If you had to describe the relationship of you and your co-host, Lauren, who has been on our show a couple of times, like who's the Fox Mulder and
dude,
who's the Scully?
I feel like it switches with every, not even episode, but topic we discuss. Yeah, because
I was
going to
say the subject matter. Yeah,
Lauren
yeah.
has some of the wildest theories that I've ever heard in my entire life. Like she goes off the rails so fast, says I. When depending again on the subject matter, if it's aliens, I'm Mulder, I'm off. If it's ghosts, Lauren is all in. Like she's immediately like, it is 1,000% haunted by a lady wearing a Victorian dress. And I'm like, is it? And she's like, 100%. Like you cannot convince me the place is not haunted, and you cannot convince me that E.T. is not a real story that someone experienced.
I love it. Oh man! Well, tell our listeners where they can find Keep It Weird. If you want to plug away?
Yeah, please. Follow us at Keep It Weird Cast on Instagram, and please subscribe to our YouTube channel because as of last season, we actually started releasing our episodes as video and audio, and our YouTube channel is growing quite nicely. We have almost 1,000 subscribers, which I don't mind because we just started it last year. So that's youtube.com/keepitweirdpodcast. So check us out there.
Awesome.
Thank you. Well,
thanks again for coming on the show.
Thank you so much, Ashley.
Yeah, listeners, we'll keep you informed if we do another crossover and head over to Keep It Weird.
And if there's anything about aliens, listeners, that shows up in the media, look up Keep It Weird because Ashley will be reporting on it.
Keeping you in the loop.
All right. Well, Ashley, until next time, we'll let you go. See you soon.
Bye.
Bye. And thank you, everybody, for listening once again. As always, Ashley's such a fun guest.
Third episode back. It's a fun start to the season.
Absolutely. Season 6. We're 3 episodes in. I love where the season's going. I feel like we've got a lot of really fun ones in the can so far, and it's going to be a lot more fun ones on the way. But yeah, Ashley, just always a great guest, always super fun.
Go listen to Keep It Weird.
Absolutely. Keep It Weird listeners, thank you for patronizing us and coming to our our show and listening to Ashley over here. We love you. We love Keep It Weird. So go listen to Ashley and Lauren on their great podcast. And speaking of patronizing, movies that made us gay.
Patreon shout outs?
It's time
Let's hear them.
For some Patreon shout outs. Well, we want to say hello to all of our wonderful patrons, including, let me zoom in on this because I can't read, Courtney and Christina, our friends over at How Do You Drew podcast, Andy, Kate, Pep, Tammy, Roberto, Brett, Daisy, Kelly, Chrissy, Steven, Desiree, Laura, Thomas, Lori, Brenna, Jessereb, Lawrence, Lisa, Alexis, Thomas, Millie, Ted, Benny, Jermel, Melanie, Susan, JJ, Shelby, Paul, Jamie, Drew, Genevieve, Dawn, Joshua, Aaron, Nick, and Shannon, Christine, and Rufino. You guys.
Thank you for being
Thank you for being patron.
There's all sorts of fun stuff on the Patreon right now.
Absolutely. We're releasing a lot of new stuff for our new series on television shows.
Yeah, the TV that keeps us gay. Mm-hmm. We just did a really fun one this past month on The Simpsons.
Yes, there's a really fun Simpsons
we
episode.
To talk about The Simpsons.
As part of our TV that keeps us gay series over on Patreon. That's at the $5 and above level. And there's over 30, we're getting close to 40 Watch With Us commentary tracks. You can sync up a movie, you can play your copy of a movie and listen to our commentary track, and it's like we're watching the movie right there with you. There's getting close to 40 of those. There might be actually 40 of those in there as well. There is, we've recapped an entire season of Drag Race All Stars. If you want to go back and watch All Stars 9, I think.
All Stars is going to be airing again this summer. I wonder if we're going to do it.
I would do it.
Yeah, I'd do it again. That was fun.
Rewatch. Yeah, we recap the entire season. There's an episode for every episode of Drag Race. We just do a little recap of that. That's for fun. Over on it's our favorite show on TV, and mm-hmm. so you know we thought we'd recap it for you. So yeah, head over to patreon.com/moviesthatmadeusgay and check out all the fun stuff that you can listen to over there. Additional episodes, bonus features, all that fun stuff. So check it out. We'd also love it if you follow the show, rate and review us, give us 5 stars, write a review on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, we'd love to read some kind words from
Absolutely.
Y'all.
Absolutely. If you have an iPhone, even if you don't listen on Apple Podcasts, if you have an iPhone, Apple Podcasts is pre-installed. Search for the show, write a review. Mm-hmm. It's as simple as that.
Yeah.
If you follow us on Spotify, you can give us a 5-star rating. You can rate us 5 stars there or on Apple. And all that stuff really helps us. Ratings, reviews, all that stuff really helps us to get push forward in the show to kind of get more traction, get more listeners out there. Also on Instagram, we're at Movies That Made Us Gay. Same thing, likes, comments, adding posts to your stories, sharing, all that fun stuff really helps get the word out for our little show. So mm-hmm. follow us on the socials.
Yeah.
Where else are we, Scott? We're on Twitter.
We're on all of them.
Yes, indeed.
Name a platform and we're on it. Movies That Made Us Gay.
Yes. On X, formerly known as Twitter, we're at MTMUGpod. So search for us there. But if you want to follow our personals, feel free. My name is Pete. I'm at Peter Lasagna on Instagram and X.
Scott Youngballer on Instagram, and follow my letterbox.
Yes, indeed. I have a letterbox. I never do anything on it, but I pretty much watch all the movies that Scott does. He writes the reviews. So you can follow along to see what we're watching in theaters. And we're at the movie theater a lot. We just saw a little re-edit of our Nick at AMC.
Oh, yeah, that's right. What do you think? What did you think of that?
I think that they probably shot a lot of stuff.
Yeah, they just, and then they had, just got multiple takes.
They had extra lines, extra takes, and they're like, let's just refigure.
She looks at the camera.
Yeah, she looks at us. She says some new things. We watch some new clips. She's watching Avatar 2, The Way of Water.
She's watching Elvis.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's fun over there at AMC, but if you're not an AMC goer, it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
We like the Draft House. We saw Dune 2. So you can get Scott's takes on all of these fun movies, especially leading up to the Oscars. Listen to our Oscar special. That's also out.
Oscar specials on our main feed this year.
Absolutely. You can check out, this year's Oscar special with Joshua Clement. It's on the main feed. It came out a couple days ago, 2 days ago.
Yeah.
It's been up for a while. So you can check that out. See what we're thinking about on the upcoming Oscar race.
Mm-hmm.
So thanks for listening, everybody.
Thank you.
We'll see you next time.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye.